I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. From New York, this is Democracy Now!
2 hours ago, colleagues, I asked Mr. Kennedy to reconcile his many anti-vaccine statements with his handful of pro-vaccine statements. Instead, he gave us a word salad and ducked the issue.
During a confirmation hearing Wednesday, Senate Democrats grilled Robert F. Kennedy Jr., President Trump's pick to head the Department of Health and Human Services. We'll speak to Oregon Senator Ron Wyden, the ranking member of the Senate Finance Committee, about Kennedy. Also, today's confirmation hearing for Tulsi Gabbard, Trump's pick to be Director of National Intelligence, as well as the Trump administration's shocking reversal under enormous pressure to freeze all federal grants and loans. Plus, we get the latest from Washington after an American airline carrying 64 people collided with an Army helicopter near Reagan National Airport. No one is believed to have survived. Then to Gaza, where Hamas has released 8 more hostages. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Rescue workers in Washington, D.C. have launched a massive search operation in the Potomac after an American Airlines flight and a U.S. Army Black Hawk helicopter collided midair late Wednesday, with both aircrafts crashing into the river. So far, no survivors have been found. At least 30 bodies have been pulled from the river. American Airlines Flight 5342 had 60 passengers and 4 crew members on board and was en route to the D.C. area, Reagan National Airport, from Wichita, Kansas. Several passengers were members of U.S. figure skating who were heading home after a training camp and the Nationals. The Black Hawk helicopter had 3 soldiers on board conducting a training flight. Investigation is underway by the National Transportation Safety Board, aided by the Federal Aviation Administration. On social media, President Trump called the crash, quote, a bad situation that looks like it should have been prevented, unquote. Just 1 week prior to Wednesday's deadly crash, Trump fired the head of the Transportation Security Administration and all members of the Aviation Security Advisory Committee. The crash comes just days after the head of the Federal Aviation Administration, Mike Whitaker, stepped down. FAA administrators usually serve 5-year terms. Trump has not named a replacement. Whitaker announced his planned departure in December after Elon Musk repeatedly attacked him on social media, tweeting he needs to resign. The White House Wednesday rescinded a memo from the Office of Management and Budget that briefly froze trillions of dollars of federal grants and loans, even though the money had already been appropriated by Congress. The order set off panic and mass confusion across the federal bureaucracy, briefly disrupting funding for Medicaid, housing, and other public services Tuesday before a federal judge put a temporary hold on the plan. On Wednesday, a second federal judge, U.S. District Judge Jack McConnell in Rhode Island, signaled he, too, would block the Trump administration from withholding federal disbursements, writing, quote, I am very concerned about the irreparable harm which has clearly been put forth, he said. On Wednesday, Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt insisted the reversal was not a rescission of the federal funding freeze and said the White House would continue to seek ways to eliminate funding for what it called woke ideologies. President Trump has signed the Laken Riley Act into law, which allows federal immigration authorities to indefinitely detain undocumented immigrants arrested for certain nonviolent crimes without due process. 46 Democrats from the House, 12 from the Senate, joined their Republican colleagues in voting in favor. At the signing ceremony for the first piece of legislation of his second term, President Trump announced plans to send, quote, the worst criminal aliens to Guantanamo Bay. The military was reportedly unaware of Trump's plan, which would require new infrastructure to house up to 30,000 people. Cuban Foreign Minister Bruno Rodriguez said, quote, the U.S. government's decision to imprison migrants at the Guantanamo naval base in an enclave where it created torture and indefinite detention centers shows contempt for the human condition and international law, he said. Meanwhile, deportation flights to Latin America are continuing amidst Trump's escalating crackdown. Recently deported Guatemalans say the crackdown has targeted everyone in the immigrant community.
Trump said that he was only going to catch the criminals, but now the police are also collaborating with immigration. So if you are driving and there are two or three people in the car, they will get caught even if they are not criminals. They're taking everyone.
I left two children there, and now I'm here in Guatemala. I don't know how I can get them back. They took me away from my children. It's tough to live because I am a mother. I can't live without my children.
At least four U.S. military planes carrying deported people landed in Guatemala this week following Colombia's refusal to accept military deportation flights. Colombia instead sent its own aircraft to fly deportees home with dignity, they said. In more immigration news, Trump officials have rescinded the Biden administration's 18-month extension of TPS. That's temporary protected status for over 600,000 Venezuelans. The order means those affected only have protection under TPS until April and September of this year. The Senate has confirmed former Long Island Republican Congressman Lee Zeldin as head of the Environmental Protection Agency. Three Democrats sided with Republicans in Wednesday's vote to confirm Zeldin. Arizona Senators Ruben Gallego and Mark Kelly and Pennsylvania Senator John Fetterman. The Youth Climate Action Group Sunrise Movement condemns Zeldin's confirmation as a disaster for the planet and a win for fossil fuel executives, writing, quote, he took $420,000 from Big Oil, pledged to undo climate protections, and has been all in with Trump, backing corporate polluters at the expense of working people, they said. Meanwhile, Democratic senators grilled Health and Human Services nominee RFK Jr. at his confirmation hearing Wednesday. We'll have more on the confirmation hearings for Robert F. Kennedy Jr. with Oregon Senator Ron Wyden. Also on Wednesday, senators advanced nominations of Pam Bondi for attorney general and Kelly Loeffler to head the Small Business Administration. Meanwhile, Trump's nominee for director of national intelligence, former Hawaii Democratic Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard, faces an uphill battle to confirmation when she appears before the Senate Intelligence Committee today. Fox News reports Gabbard does not currently have a majority of the votes needed, with half of the committee's Republicans still undecided. We'll also discuss Gabbard with Oregon Senator Ron Wyden. Israel scheduled to free 110 Palestinians, including 30 children, from its prisons after Hamas said it had released three Israelis and five Thai nationals held hostage in Gaza since October 7, 2023. The exchange took place as Trump's Middle East envoy, the former head of the Inauguration Committee, Steve Witkoff, arrived in Israel and became the first senior American official to enter Gaza in nearly 15 years. Witkoff toured the Israeli-occupied Netzarim corridor separating northern and southern Gaza, embedded among Israeli soldiers. On Wednesday, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said he'd accepted President Trump's invitation to meet at the White House next Tuesday. Also Wednesday, Trump signed an executive order to deport non-citizen college students and other international visitors who take part in pro-Palestinian protests. Trump said in a statement accompanying the order, quote, I will quickly cancel the student visas of all Hamas sympathizers on college campuses, which have been infested with radicalism like never before, Trump said. In Gaza, Israeli airstrikes have killed two Palestinians despite the ceasefire agreement. Separately, an Israeli civilian contractor working with Israel's military in Gaza was shot dead by Israeli soldiers, apparently after being mistaken for a Palestinian. In the occupied West Bank, an Israeli airstrike on the Palestinian town of Tamun late Wednesday killed 10 people and left several other Palestinians wounded. The attack came as Israel's army arrested 26 Palestinians in raids across the occupied West Bank. Separately, Israeli warplanes have fired two missiles at a building in Jenin refugee camp earlier today. On Wednesday, Israeli Defense Minister Israel Katz said Israeli forces will remain in the Jenin refugee camp and will continue to occupy additional territory it recently seized in Syria's Golan Heights. This all comes as international staff working for the UN's Agency for Palestinian Refugees, UNRWA, have been forced to leave their posts after Israel's ban on the agency came into effect earlier today. UNRWA spokesperson Jonathan Fowler said Israel's decision could trigger a collapse of humanitarian aid to Palestinians.
In East Jerusalem, we serve 70,000 patients who are at the sort of bottom of the economic ladder, the most vulnerable members of society, people who don't have access to affordable healthcare alternatives and use our free healthcare system. These people need us. They need these services. It's like a nightmare scenario, and it's also completely outlandish.
A federal judge in Manhattan has sentenced former New Jersey Democratic Senator Bob Menendez to 11 years in prison following his conviction on corruption charges. In July, jurors found Menendez guilty of bribery, wire fraud, extortion, obstruction of justice, conspiracy, and acting as a foreign agent for Egypt. He's due to report to prison June 6. Menendez spoke to reporters following his sentencing Wednesday, stoking speculation he's seeking a pardon from President Trump.
Welcome to the Southern District of New York, the Wild West of political prosecutions. President Trump is right. This process is political and it's corrupted to the core. I hope President Trump cleans up the cesspool and restores the integrity to the system.
And the Justice Department is reportedly in talks with federal prosecutors in Manhattan about dropping corruption charges against New York City Mayor Eric Adams. Adams was indicted last year on 5 counts, including bribery, conspiracy, and campaign finance violations. A growing number of Adams' allies have also been indicted or resigned. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman.
And I'm Nermeen Sheikh. Welcome to our listeners and viewers across the country and around the world. President Trump's pick to lead the Department of Health and Human Services, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., appeared before the Senate Finance Committee on Wednesday. The confirmation hearing was repeatedly interrupted by protesters criticizing Kennedy's long record of vaccine skepticism. Kennedy is a former environmental attorney who went on to lead Children's Health Defense, a nonprofit that's filed more than 30 lawsuits challenging vaccine and other public health mandates. Kennedy is the son of former Attorney General Robert F. Kennedy and the nephew of President John F. Kennedy. Ahead of the hearing, JFK's daughter, Ambassador Carolyn Kennedy, called on senators to reject her cousin, who she described as a predator and dangerous. Supporters of Kennedy see him as a leading figure in the so-called Make America Healthy Again movement. If confirmed to head HHS, Kennedy would oversee numerous agencies, including the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the Food and Drug Administration, and the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services.
In a moment, we'll be joined by Democratic Senator Ron Wyden of Oregon, the ranking member of the Senate Finance Committee. But first, let's turn to Senator Wyden questioning Robert F. Kennedy Jr. on Wednesday.
Mr. Kennedy, you have spent years pushing conflicting stories about vaccines. You say one thing and then you say another. In your testimony today under oath, you denied that you were anti-vaccine. But during a podcast interview in July of 2023, you said, quote, no vaccine is safe and effective. In your testimony today, in order to prove you're not anti-vax, you note that all your kids are vaccinated. But in a podcast in 2020, you said, and I quote, you would do anything, pay anything, to go back in time and not vaccinate your kids. Mr. Kennedy, all of these things cannot be true. So, are you lying to Congress today when you say you are pro-vaccine? Or did you lie on all those podcasts? We have all of this on tape, by the way.
Senator, as you know, because it's been repeatedly debunked, that statement that I made on the Lex Fridman podcast was a fragment of the statement. He asked me, and anybody who actually goes and looks at that podcast and will see this, he asked me, are there vaccines that are safe and effective? And I said to him, some of the live virus vaccines are. And I said, there are no vaccines that are safe and effective, and I was going to continue for every person. Every medicine has people who are sensitive to them, including vaccines.
Right. So
he interrupted me at that point. I've corrected it many times, including on national TV. You know about this, Senator Wyden, so bringing this up right now is dishonest.
Let's be clear about what you've actually done then, since you want to deny your statements. For example, you have a history of trying to take vaccines away from people. In May of 2021, you petitioned the Food and Drug Administration to not only block Americans from having access to the COVID vaccine, but to prevent any future access to the life-saving vaccine. Are you denying that? Your name is on the petition.
We brought that petition after CDC recommended the COVID vaccine without any scientific basis for 6-year-old children. Most experts agree today, even the people who did it back then, that COVID vaccines are inappropriate for 6-year-old children who basically have a zero risk from COVID. That's why I brought that lawsuit. I don't want to, I want to emphasize
Mr. Kennedy, the facts,
That was Democratic Senator Ron Wyden from Oregon. He's the ranking member of the Senate Finance Committee, questioning President Trump's pick to lead the Department of Health and Human Services, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., when he appeared before the committee on Wednesday. That was a brief interruption by a protester. Senator Wyden is joining us now from the Russell Rotunda in the Senate office building. He also has a new book just out. It's called It Takes Chutzpah, How to Fight Fearlessly for Progressive Change. Senator, welcome to Democracy Now! It's great to have you with us. If you can start off by just talking about the significance of Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Heading up Health and Human Services, in charge of NIH, in charge of the Centers for Disease Control, agencies that he has long fiercely criticized.
Amy, this is one of the most important positions in the world as it relates to healthcare, because a lot of the decisions we make on medicines and therapies are copied around the world. And I was listening to what you played, and what you heard was vintage Robert Kennedy double talk. You know, he has tried so hard to be anti-vax, and again and again and again, he belongs to organizations, he makes statements and the like. Now he desperately wants this appointment from Donald Trump, so he is trying to pretend that he's pro-vax. I think the reality is that he cannot be trusted, number one, and he's unprepared. And the reason I say unprepared is it was clear yesterday he didn't even understand the Medicaid program. He thought that there were premiums involved, and it was clear that he just didn't understand the architecture of the programs he would run if confirmed.
And Senator Wyden, you've said that he's, quote, embraced conspiracy theories, quacks, and charlatans on vaccine safety and efficacy. What is your assessment on the line of questioning yesterday? Were you satisfied with the number of questions you were able to ask and others were able to ask? And what remains?
I believe my Democratic colleagues were outstanding. They went at all of the issues where he had made these very outlandish statements. He pretends that he didn't. A number of my colleagues looked at the financial links that he benefits from when he's doing all this anti-vax activity. I think that we put on the kind of hearing on our side that puts him on the precipice where possibly he will not be confirmed.
I mean, on the one one hand, you have his fierce criticism of vaccines and surprised many, probably, when he said he was not anti-vaccine. But he also has fierce criticism of the agriculture industry, the power of the drug industry. Can you comment on that, where you actually agree with him and where you don't?
Certainly, when he talks about tobacco cessation, I was the one who blew the whistle on the tobacco executives lying about the addictiveness of nicotine. I certainly share views with them on matters like that. But on the big, crucial kinds of questions, for example, this COVID petition, you know, that would have made it impossible to get out the services that were so needed while we were in the eye of the storm. And his policies, I think, are going to leave Americans sicker.
Senator Wyden, we'd also like to ask you about the White House Budget Office's decision to rescind an order to freeze trillions of dollars of federal grants and loans. The initial order from Matthew Waith, the acting director of the White House Office of Management and Budget, set off chaos around the country as funding for critical programs, including Medicaid, Head Start, Meals on Wheels, and many others appear to be in jeopardy. The OMB rescinded the memo after a federal judge in Washington, D.C. temporarily halted the radical plan. This all comes as Trump has nominated the architect of Project 2025, Russell Vogt, to head the OMB. During his recent confirmation hearing, Vogt was questioned by our guest, by you, Democratic Senator Ron Wyden of Oregon.
I think the distillation of the Trump economic program is to give tax breaks to all the people at the top, and it's going to be paid for by these kinds of cuts in efficient health care programs like Medicaid and hunger programs and the like. And I'd like to know, does that concern you at all, that we have these values that are going to help the people right at the top, at the tippy top of the top, and we're going to cut these programs like Medicaid and hunger? Are those your values? Do you think that that's something that is in line with American values? Because I think we want everybody to have a chance to get ahead.
Senator, I fully support the notion that we want everyone to get ahead, and we would not characterize our economic program that way. We think it's important to give people tax cuts at all levels. The president wants to extend those tax cuts.
But what about the vulnerable people who are going to get hurt in the process?
So that was Democratic Senator Ron Wyden questioning OMB nominee Russell Vogt. I mean, total chaos this week. You have the President Trump proposing to cut trillions of dollars from programs to the neediest Americans. And then, because of enormous outcry, he pulls back. And you are leading the charge, Senator Wyden, to call for a postponement of the vote on Russell Vogt to be the head of OMB. Can you talk about him as one of the key architects of Project 2025 and what that is and why you're calling for this delay?
There is no question in my mind that this is a person who has got a laser target out there for Medicaid. Medicaid, of course, is a lifeline for millions of people. And in fact, one of the things that was good this week that happened is when we heard that Donald Trump was going to cause bedlam in the Medicaid portals, the activists who are supportive of Medicaid got in touch with me. I put it online, and all over America, so many people spoke out against Trump's efforts to cause harm to Medicaid. We blocked it within 12 hours. So we're going to be all in this fight, and Russell Vogt is the architect of it. The Project 2025 effort features a number of key kinds of questions, but this is his big victory that he wants to accomplish.
So what do you accomplish by postponing the vote?
What we do is we give a chance for more people to see what's at stake. It's kind of like, you know, Donald Trump is consistently not paid the bills that he owed when he was in the private sector. So a judge basically caught up with him, and that's how we helped to block the freeze. We're going to get the word out, just as I did when the Medicaid portals were closed down there for a few hours. What happened was those activists and those whistleblowers got in touch with me. I put it out all across the country. The credit deserves to go to the whistleblowers who brought it to us. We get additional time. We can block these cuts too.
And Senator Ron Wyden, could you also comment on the confirmation hearing forthcoming for Tulsi Gabbard to become Director of National Intelligence? You've worked with her in the past on privacy legislation, but you've expressed some concerns about her potentially occupying this position. If you could elaborate.
I'd like to find out what her current positions are on matters like the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, which is a hugely important issue. At one time, she was against it. Now she seems that she may be for it. I'm also very concerned about Americans being swept up in these searches. So we're going to get to the bottom of what her positions actually are. And clearly, the Trump people have been lobbying her hard.
If you could talk more about that, because, Senator Wyden, you are known as a leader on challenging these FISA courts. For those who aren't so familiar, we have a global audience. Explain your deep concerns, how she agreed with you as a Congress member, and then what exactly how she's turned around.
Well, what I think she was concerned about was law-abiding Americans getting swept up in the warrant process. And I have led that effort, and I'm sure we'll talk about that today. But I think on top of that, she is concerned that civil liberties are just getting the short shrift. You know, I believe that security and liberty are not mutually exclusive. You can have both. You can have your freedoms and have security. I think she said that in the past. The question is, will she say it again today?
Senator Wyden, could we also ask you about, you've commented on this, the fact that at the Trump's inauguration, there were all of the leading tech CEOs, from Zuckerberg to Sundar Pichai, and of course Elon Musk, who is now formerly a member of Trump's administration. You've done a great deal of work on tech. What are your concerns about the proximity of these tech CEOs to the Trump administration?
Well, it clearly sent a message that his real friends, his real allies, are the billionaires. Let me tell your listeners, though, I think that what Mark Zuckerberg did, toadying up to Trump here recently and saying he'd give up his fact checkers, was just god-awful. And I think what it does is it sends a message to all the big tech companies, hey, you can do what I did, maybe line up a favor in the future with Donald Trump, and we can reconsolidate big media the way it was before the internet.
I wanted to go back to our headlines, Senator Wyden, to our first story, of course, this horrendous crash, midair crash over the Potomac between a Black Hawk helicopter and this American Airlines flight. It looks like there are absolutely no survivors. At least 30 bodies have been pulled. It's American Airlines. The crash coming just days after the head of the Federal Aviation Administration, Mike Whitaker, stepped down. Now, this is extremely significant. FAA administrators usually serve five-year terms. Trump has not named a replacement. Whitaker announced his planned departure in December after SpaceX CEO and Trump donor Elon Musk repeatedly attacked him on social media, attacked Whitaker, saying he needs to resign. I mean, on the one hand, the power of the richest man on earth working with Trump, and we don't know what happened here. We cannot say why they crashed. It is so rare to have this kind of collision. Horrific. But if you can comment on this.
Well, I'm certainly concerned about the Trump administration's policies as it relates to ensuring that we have adequate personnel to prevent this. This is such a horrifying story that we have gotten this morning, the tragic loss of life. And I will tell you, there are going to be a host of questions. One of the first that I asked myself this morning is, what was that DOD helicopter doing in that particular place? And so we've got to make sure that we have the adequate personnel to prevent this in the future and get to the bottom of what these decisions in terms of the Trump personnel in the last few weeks have meant.
We know. know you have to go in just about a minute. You've got the Tulsi Gabbard hearing coming up. But we did want to ask you about your new book, A Take Chutzpah. And the subtitle is How to Fight Fearlessly for Progressive Change. Many are questioning, where is the Democratic Party today? Where is the response to the enormous, what many people would say might be the majority of people in this country, progressive base, but just not being responded to by the Democratic Party? Can you talk about what takes chutzpah and how you think chutzpah needs to be a center, an underpinning of the movement today?
Chutzpah is about nerve. It's about grit. It's about taking on long odds. And my chutzpah winners of the week are all those wonderful people that helped us get the Trump effort to block the Medicaid portals turned around. You know, when he did it, he didn't think there would